Okay, Wayne.
Thanks, Wayne. I'm a permafrost geomorphologist. In other words, I study frozen ground. This means usually spending long periods of time in cold and very uncomfortable places. Despite the fact that I consider it a comforting form of research, most people find it pretty awkward and very uncomfortable. I'm going to highlight three aspects of the work that I'm doing. The first is concerned with the impact of climate change on ice-rich permafrost, ground ice, areas where ice constitutes more of the volume of the ground than actually soil does. Normally, this work would be seen as a natural outcome of climate change. But the point that we are looking at is the fact that a lot of the erosion associated with melting ground ice is normal. It's part of the natural landscape evolution. And so we're systematically looking at areas, primarily at very high latitudes, polar desert areas, an area at 80 degrees north, the Eureka Weather Station, and we're monitoring the rate of change in which these forms of erosion are occurring. So these photographs show the ice-rich nature of permafrost. This photograph shows some of the initial changes that are starting to occur. And last summer, we basically monitored approximately 30% increase in the rate of erosion in an area within 100 square kilometers centered on the Eureka Weather Station. So that's one project. We're looking at the rate of landscape change associated with thawing permafrost. Something slightly different is the look at groundwater, is the way we look at groundwater in permafrost. There shouldn't be groundwater in permafrost. Permafrost is soil that's below 0 degrees centigrade. Therefore, all water in it should be frozen, except for water that has high concentrations of salt. Some of the springs that we're looking at on Axel Heiberg Island are nearly saturated with sodium chloride. Saturation is usually around 23.3%, not parts per thousand, as you would think in salinity of oceans. The freezing point of water saturated with sodium chloride is minus 21.1 degrees. So one of the things that we are finding is that at extremely cold temperatures, very unusual things begin to happen in terms of the geomorphology, the geology, and the biogeochemistry of these springs. And one of the findings that has come out of this research is the formation of a mineral called hydrohalite. Hydrohalite is widely known, but it's not widely studied. And as best as we know, we probably have the single most significant deposit of hydrohalite that's ever been recorded. The last project I want to highlight is in Antarctica, where we work in partnership with colleagues from NASA. And we take the skills that we've developed in the Arctic, and we're applying it to questions about space exploration and exploration for Mars in particular. And we're involved in an experiment that's looking at some of the coldest, driest parts of the McMurdo Dry Valleys, and using tools like ground-penetrating radar, which is the lower trace in this diagram, and forms of automated drilling, to actually map ground ice. And this is an analog for the Phoenix exploration. The last thing I want to mention is essentially that a bit of commercialization of McGill Northern Science. We operate three northern field stations, two on Axel Heiberg Island and one in the subarctic in Schefferville. Students are involved in research in all these sites. Last thing I want to commercially present are the courses that I teach. And I teach a series of courses in which I talk about most of these things. And the last thing I want to mention is the fact that we are in the stages of developing an Arctic field semester. It hasn't been launched yet, but if you're interested in it, come and talk to me afterward. Thanks a lot.